It's our desire as elders to provide optimal opportunities for all of us for worship and study. We want these experiences to be scriptural, motivating, encouraging, and dedicated to God and our own growth. To help in this effort, we have invited several teachers to come for a special emphasis. On February the 4th, Jeff Jenkins will be here for what we're styling as Super Sunday, when we will fellowship with a soup meal and share with our lectureship guest. Our homecoming gospel meeting will be on April the 29th through the May the 1st. We'll utilize men who have worked with us before: David Light, Jason Beard, and David Powell. Youth Day will be August the 5th with Ryan Gallagher. And University Day will be September the 9th with Tim Alsop. And Missions Day is set for October the 21st with Martin Johnson, who will be the new missionary in residence at Fruit Hardeman. We will continue to have, of course, our senior rally on March the 24th, our Vacation Bible School, June the 24th through the 27th, and Ladies' Day on October the 20th. We will continue to have our Wednesday summer series this year, following the example of Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We believe that some of the most memorable and effective communication of divine truth occurs during our singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So, men from our congregation will help us to enjoy the melody and explore the content of some beautiful songs. Our worship services will also incorporate more public reading of Scripture and an extended emphasis in our worship through the Lord's Supper. The 2018 overall theme is focused. Coming from Psalm 119, verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. We want to be focused. Each month, we'll focus on essentials of Christian belief and practice. We want to discourage distractions and encourage the most important. We want to believe right, and we want to do right. Each month, there will be 8 Bible verses relevant to our focus, 2 for each Sunday. Not only will these serve as part of our Bible reading plan, but are also verses we encourage our families to commit to memory, including our children. On the back of each monthly card is a suggested devotional Bible reading plan from the wisdom books. Thus, our plan this year has 2 objectives: instructive and devotional. Of course, you may want to continue with your favorite reading plan as well. These cards will be given to you as you leave today for the month of January. We begin in January with the most important focus, that of God. Every month, there will be a focus that proceeds from our understanding of and relationship to God. Not only do we want these topics to be foundational, but also practical in our daily living. And so we'll be looking at worship and truth and faithfulness and love, compassion, the cross, forgiveness, the gospel, teaching, heaven, and end the year with endurance. We hope this will cause us to be immersed in the Word and help us all to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ.
If you would bow for prayer, please. Heavenly Father, as we attempt to carry out the worship plans for 2018, the plans that have been prayerfully made, we ask a special blessing that our efforts will be successful. We pray that everyone will take advantage of the opportunities to be together as Christians this year, to be more focused in our studies, that we all may be strengthened and drawn closer to you. We pray that that throughout this year, that our day-to-day living will be the kind of example, the kind of Christian example that the world needs to see. May our efforts to spread your word to individuals in Henderson, United States, and throughout the world result in more souls being led to you. As always, Heavenly Father, we ask all of this in your Son's name. Amen.
I think there should be a slide on the screen. Okay, there's not. We'll go ahead anyway. We're looking ahead to 2018. It was interesting that when we put the program together, a lot of detail was thought about, and it occurred to me that maybe at least one of the elders might have gone liberal on us, because I was told to keep the Sunday morning sermon to 10 minutes. And in my opinion, that would be a miracle. And we may start out witnessing a miracle, but we'll see. If you'll turn with me to Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20, it very clearly says that all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the earth. It amazes me that at the end of his ministry, at the end of his resurrection, just before his ascension, that was what Christ gave as a great commission. The reason that we asked Keith to read the passage that he did was that it ties that same great commission that was given to the apostles to each one of us. It's interesting to me, if we had the slide, I guess Barry, our technology is doing well, except for this. If you go to our website, you'll see on the website across that a banner, and across that there'll be a section that says About Us. And if you click on it, it gives the mission of the congregation. And on that mission statement, it says the mission of the Henderson Church is to nurture the saved and to evangelize the lost. To nurture the saved and evangelize the lost. In one sentence, that summarizes what we are about in our response to the Great Commission. In just a couple minutes, hopefully, there'll be an invitation that I want every person in the room to seriously consider. In terms of our own spiritual maturity, We need to take a look at the mirror of the gospel and take a hard look at ourselves. And there's a passage that I'd like for us to consider to see whether or not that would apply to us, which it does. And if there's a need for somebody who's a member of the church, a member of the kingdom, who needs to be strengthened or forgiven or prayed for, in a few moments when we sing the song, that'll be your invitation. If there is somebody, and we're thinking about evangelizing the lost, that understands that even though they believe in Jesus, they have not responded with a clear conscience toward what the Bible clearly says, that invitation is to you, and we'd like to have you come forward. The first part of that is to nurture the saved. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, we need to consider this passage. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and goodness." Notice that. The scripture gives us all things that pertain to life and goodness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. And verse 4 in that passage says, "By which have been given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And then there's a passage there that is the mirror that each of us who claim to have faith in Christ ought to seriously, and from this point through the year and throughout our lives, take a serious look at. It says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." Notice verse 8. It says, "For if these things are yours," if these things are yours and abound, "you will neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." If we think about the concept of faith, and you think about Hebrews, and our faith should be built on evidence and substance, not wishful thinking. When we look at the substance and we look at the evidence, if we have faith, we ought to be faithful. And what does that mean? As we just read, faithfulness would include virtue. Faithfulness would include knowledge and a continued study of God's Word. Faithfulness would mean that we would be a people that would have self-control, people of perseverance. There's some things that are so easy for you to do that you don't think about them at all because you're good people. But in those very same things, there are things that I or some of you have a very difficult time with. And sometimes we get up in the morning, we have to say, okay, this is the way I'm going to be between now and lunch, and do our best just to survive the morning. And that's the perseverance. And godliness, godlikeness, and brotherly kindness and love. If a person of faith is faithful, these are the elements within the Christian life that we should look at and during 2018 take a renewed effort to think about these things and to look at ourselves in the mirror of God's Word. And verse 8 says, "For these things are yours and abound. You will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he is cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren," verse 10, "be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you would never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly," note this, "into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, nurturing those of us who claim to be followers of Christ. The other part of the Great Commission and the other part of our mission is to evangelize the lost. I won't spend a great deal of time on this, but it's extremely important. In Galatians 3 and verse 27, it clearly says, "For as many of you that were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." What does that mean? That means the same thing as is revealed in Acts 2, starting at verse 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent," as changing a person's life, "and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." The Bible's very clear about that. And if I had a slide on the screen right now, it would say citizenship. One of the things that I've been doing is doing an awful lot of family history. And I have in my hands a photocopy, one from 1928 and the other one from 1936. Photocopies of when my mother, who was not a U.S. citizen, immigrated to the United States through the immigration office in Detroit, Michigan. And she came here in February the 15th, and she lived here in Iowa for years. And the neighbors thought she was a nice person. She was 15 years old. She was brought here by her mother. My grandfather was already in Iowa, but she was not a U.S. citizen. But if you happen to look at her, all the things she did was just like her neighbors. But she wasn't a citizen. And with a great deal of pride, in 1936, she with 16 other people raised their hand and took a pledge of allegiance. And she said that morning she was an alien, although she looked like everybody else. She is married. My two sisters were born at that time. She had a family. She lived in Iowa. She looked like everyone else, but she was an alien. But when she raised her right hand and took the Pledge of Allegiance, she was no longer an alien. She was a citizen of the United States. Peter used the analogy of Noah and the ark. And he said in Noah's life, he got on the boat. And you know the story. And the same water, Peter indicates, that eliminated everyone but those eight souls was the water that saved Noah and his family. The difference was whether he was on the ark or not. And the importance of evangelizing the lost, and those of us who have not made the commitment need to realize that we are either part of God's family or not. It's not just a life or death issue, it's a salvation issue. And that's the reason we who have taken the step, as Peter said, out of a clear conscience, need to be diligent about the walk that we are traveling. And those of us who have not taken the step need to answer, as Peter said, with a good conscience toward God. And why? It's very clear in verse 21. Through the resurrection of Christ, out of a good conscience. The Bible is very clear in terms of how we should live and how we should respond to Christ. But the decision is ours. As we look ahead to the year 2018, under the direction of our elders, and the other 13 guys are my elders, Our collective mission is to nurture the saved and evangelize the lost. And as you examine yourself this morning as we sing this song, if that applies to you, please come forward as we stand and sing.